Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you. Truly great and mighty is our God. And we're just so thankful just to be on the broadcast today. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast. Welcome to our broadcast today. We are continuing in on our series on renewing the mind through the Word of God. I'm telling you, it's such a great topic and such a big topic, because one thing we do is we have to get our mind right so that we can do all that God has called us to and be all that God wants us to be and created us to be. But we have to renew our mind. It's a daily task that really we have to continue in the Word of God and continue to refresh our thoughts and our thought pattern on what God's Word says, so we can begin to think like Him and begin to, have the mind of Christ is what we want to do. That's our end result, so that our mind can be like that of Christ. And so we're just so thankful to be on the broadcast today. We have a wonderful speaker that will be bringing the Word of God today in the person of Elder Rita Timberlake, and I'm excited about what she has to say and what she has to teach today. But I'm just going to open up with a prayer, and then we're going to give it over to her. And we thank you first for all of those that will be calling in, those that have logged in, those that will even listen to the archives later. We thank you for your support as we continue to endeavor to do what God has called us to do with this ministry, and that is to build a foundation in the hearts and minds of people so that they can be saved and that they will be able to stay with Jesus. Because I'm telling you, it's nothing like staying with God and having that firm foundation to stand on. Dear me, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today for your glory. We thank you for your mighty works and for your wonderful creating us and taking care of us and protecting us and providing for us and giving us peace and just all the things that you so graciously do for us. And we thank you for your grace and for your mercy and for your love and your kindness toward us, God. We thank you so much. We ask you, Lord, today to bless the word as it goes forth on today. Bless it to fall on good ground. Bless the people to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church today, oh God. We thank you for it, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our speaker, oh God, and anointing her in her time that she took to study and prepare. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given her and that she's going to give to us. So we thank you. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless all of those that need this word, all of those that need it, bless them to find it, and bless them to listen in, and bless them to learn and understand, Father, in the name of Jesus. And those that need to be saved, Lord, Lord, let your word draw them in, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Draw them close to you today, oh God, that they will give their lives unto the Lord. In the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
We're just so grateful to be on here today. And Elder Timberlake, I'm going to stop talking and give it right on over to you. We thank you for all those that are on the line at this time. And we're going to give it over to Elder Timberlake. God bless you.
Thank you, Elder Bryson. God bless you. God bless you. I'm sure everybody is still vested in the service that they had today because God was really good. And I don't know if your service, but our service today was awesome. And I believe yours was too. And when I heard the word, I had, was going in a different direction. And on the way home from church, I got a little curve. So y'all going to have to pray, and I'm going to need your help, okay?
Okay.
Yes. Today, last week we were talking about Paul, and we didn't get the finish about him. We didn't get to the suffering because of the mindset that he'd gotten to, that he was willing to sacrifice his life. He was willing to be, he was just sold out to Christ. He was all in to the task, to the assignment that he had been given. He was willing to go through whatever the cost for the cause of Christ. And when we're talking about the renewing of the mind, we want our minds to be renewed until we are finding ourselves on that journey like Paul, that we're getting in position that God can use us, and we're just saying like, Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. If you don't have anybody, if you want somebody, send me. We want to get to that condition that God becomes the priority in our lives and that we're seeking him, his will for our lives. And then we're willing, whatever we're going through, whatever the pain, whatever the agony, Lord, I'll do it for you, for the gospel's sake. We want to get there. And that takes our minds being renewed, as Elder Bryson said, on a constant basis. It is a process. It is not a one-time thing. It just doesn't happen overnight. It can start. It starts when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the decision. We talked about the mind being the core, the mind being our heart. The mind is where we have our intellect, our reasoning, and we make decisions. And it was in our mind with our heart that we decided to accept the Lord as our Lord and Savior. We asked him to forgive us of our sins. We confessed, and we believe that Jesus has risen from the dead, and we say, Lord, be Lord of our lives. When we have done that, that started us on the path of going towards needing our minds renewed. We need first, what that happened, at that state, what happened was our mind was changed. We heard a word, our heart was pricked, we were convicted, and we made a decision. That comes with that mind where God gave us free will, that choice, and we chose at that time to accept the Lord as our Lord and Savior. Once you accept God as your Lord and Savior, then you start a journey of changing your mind process, your mind thoughts, the way you perceive things, your perception. All of that has to be renewed, which means it needs to be changed. And it all starts with changing the way you think. And it all starts with having a humble spirit and being willing and being open to be teachable, open to hear what the Spirit is saying unto you so you can grow. And with that said, we want to look at, today we're going to go to, believe it or not, we're going back to the Old Testament, to Numbers, because on the way home today, because it's all in the mind and how you think. And driving home from church, it just came into mind about the children of Israel when they had been delivered from Egypt, walked and saw many miracles of God, going through the Red Sea, saw how miraculously God moved the Red Sea so they could walk through on dry land. And then when they get just at the verge of the promised land, not to get the breakthrough that they were believing, had believed God for because he had promised. When they get there and they have to, when Moses had to send somebody to go check out the land, they right there at it. And then here comes fear, here comes anxiety, here comes unbelief. This is why we as Christians and we as believers, once we have accepted Christ and started on the path of believing Christ, our minds has to be renewed, because there are many thoughts, there are many things transmitting. All of us come from different backgrounds, and the way we were raised and all those ideas and ideologies, as much as we try to fight it, all of those things have impact with our decisions, with our decision making. So, and if we were taught wrong, we have to be retaught. We have to learn, and we have to train our mind to make better decisions and not to think of based on what mama said, because that might have been good for then, but now that you've over on the Lord's side, he's given you more wisdom, more understanding, and so you've got to be able to walk in that path. Because if you're not careful, when the enemy comes with a distraction, you'll fall back. Just like the children of Israel, when things look like they're impossible, and it seemingly you just can't do it. You can't see it with your natural eye. That all that God has done for you, all the many miracles that he would have shown miraculously, you just seem like it goes out of your memory. Your mind begin to play tricks on you, and you want to divert back to what was familiar, to what was common. And we have to learn this. We have to learn to build our faith. The path of having a renewed mind is having faith in God. It starts right there, the foundation of that path. Because if you don't trust him, if you don't believe him, if you don't believe his word, then when things happen, you have nothing to fall back on but yourself. And self can only handle so much. God did give us, as we talked about earlier in the series, he has given us so much, a level of capabilities and willpower and strength where we can make very intelligent decisions. But then there are some times when our will and our emotions get disturbed, we don't always think with clarity. And therefore, we need to be undergirded. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us so we can discern and know what's right, what's wrong, what's real, and what is false. So with that said, if you will go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, and I'm not even going to tell the whole story, because if you don't know the story, you can need to read chapter 13 and 14 of Numbers, and it's in the Old Testament if we have somebody who don't know the Bible. But I'm going to start with the 30th verse, and it says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" We're talking about the mindset. "And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.'" Sometimes our enemies look bigger than they are. Because, you know, we talked about David, and there was Goliath the giant, which was much bigger, taller in stature, in height, in everything, and everything visually than David. But David had faith in God, and he believed because he'd seen God work for him, and he remembered, well, here are these children of Israel where God has done miraculous miracles for them, and they have seen them. He has led them with a cloud by day and night and fed them with manna from heaven, miraculous blessings they have seen. But when the Lord tell Moses to send 12 people over into the land of Canaan to go spy it out, and they were gone for 40 days to spy it out, to go look it up, to look at, look over and see what was going on and how fruitful, how many was there, and was the land filled with milk and honey, and was all these things they were supposed to find out and bring back a report. Out of 12 people, only two came back with a faith report. And the faith report is, yes, they were big, they were tall, and they got some big grapes and big clusters because we brought some back so you could see. And they had faith in God to believe that they were able to capture the land, because God had helped them to fight many battles before, of which they had won. But the other 10 came back and said, no, they It put fear in the hearts of the people because they dealt with it with what they saw. And what they and when they saw it and they began to tell the story, they became fearful. They could not see a way out. They could not see a victorious outcome. But because they couldn't see it with their natural eyes, they failed. Some people say they trust God, and they trust God as long as things are going well. But when he asks us to do something that seems bigger than what we think we're able to do or something that we've never done before, we get a little anxious. We get fearful. But we know God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power and love and a sound mind so we can make good decisions. And our good decisions are based on a relationship that we have with God. If we have seen him work for us in the past, or if we heard our mother and brothers, the older saints or the preachers tell a story, how God brought them over, how God made a way out of no way. If you believed in them and trusted them to tell you the truth, then you would know that if God did it for them, then he can do it for you. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that came back with a good report because they had faith in God. They believed in the God of their father. And when you believe in the God of your father, it just helps your mindset. See, they had a mindset to believe. They had a mindset to believe the impossible. They had the mindset to believe that anything with God became possible. But the other 10, they were not thinking about God. They had forgot that all the other battles they won, God was with them. They only won it because of him. Sometimes when, you know, we get caught up, we think it's all about us. When God blesses us and he uses us miraculously and people getting healed and we praying for people and doors being opened, ways being made, and then all of a sudden when God asks you to do something else that's bigger than that you've never tried before, you get a little anxious. You say, no, I can't do that. You want to tell the Lord no? That's, you know, like Jonah didn't want to go where God told him to go. We want to tell the Lord no. We don't want to be in compliance. We don't want to do his will. We want to do it when it's convenient. But God will always challenge us to step beyond what is familiar. He will always challenge us when he is trying to grow us and try to get us from point A to point B, when he has plans for us. He will always propel us and position us for growth. But we've got to have the mindset and have to have the mind, our minds made up, that we're going to stay with the path. We can't see our way. We don't know how we're going to make it. But God, I trust you. And we got to say it, and we got to mean it from our heart, in our minds with a made-up mind, not with a mind that's wavering. The Lord, when it's going good, yes, I believe you. But now it's gotten a little shaky. It doesn't look good. My enemies are looking too big, and they look like they're going to overwhelm me. I need, instead of going to God and say, give me the strength, help my thine unbelief, you already made up your mind that it can't be done. And can't does not go with God, because there's nothing impossible with God. You can do anything when God is with you. But Paul declared, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If you allow him to strengthen you, if you allow him to lead you, then there is nothing too hard for you. There's no challenge that you can't overcome. There's no temptation that you cannot overcome or withstand as long as you let God lead you. The old folks used to sing a song said, let Jesus lead you all the way. If you let him lead you all the way, not half the way. That's why the scripture said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and let him direct your path. At this point, does anyone have a comment they would like to say? Okay. When we look at the children of Israel, the 10, these were leaders now, because they were leaders of their tribe. Moses was told to pick leaders. These were leaders, and they supposed to they were examples for other people. They supposed to be the strong ones that Moses picked, and then they came back with a small mind thought process. We God to our own little finite mind, because there's nothing impossible with God. So we want to always make sure that our faith is where it needs to be, because it is by faith that we were saved. By grace were we saved through faith. We need faith in God. And when you say you trust God, you got to really mean it. Because you know what? God's going to test us. And when he tests us, you'll be able to see if you're honest with yourself. Are you where you should be? That's why when I was reading by Paul, it so touched me. And every time I read that, it just brings so much tears to me when I read the scriptures, because such a commitment to God, such a commitment. And when I look at the situation with these children of Israel, I mean, and I compare it to what we're going on in our world today, I see things that does make you feel like you're a grasshopper, because that's what they said. They felt like grasshoppers. They admit they felt small. But how many know that we serve a mighty, humongous God that can do anything but fail? So when we put our faith in God and not in ourselves, that we can boldly walk among our enemies and serpents and tread, we can boldly do it because we're not walking by ourselves. And that is good to know. Your faith got to be on point. And if you not clear on your faith, you need to watch how you think. Start examining yourself. You know, many times we think, as we've been saved, for those of us who've been saved for a moment, you've been saved for a while, you think it's okay and you got it like that with God. Well, it's all well and good if you do. But let me just tell you, if you don't spend some quality time, any relationship that you don't give time to will start having problems. And it'll start having distance problems. And with Christ, you want to keep a close relationship, because you know you need him every second, every minute, every hour of the day. You need him every waking, every sleeping moment, because only he knows what the future holds. Only he can see what's ahead of you and what's after you. You don't know and you don't see, but he can see. And he can see clearly. You might think you see, or you can perceive, but your perception can be off. That's why we need God in our lives and to have a good relationship. That is why our minds need to be renewed, so we can have that communication with God, so he can lead us and guide us. And when he's speaking to us, we can hear him with clarity, and we can be responsive. We don't want to be in disobedience or in disbelief of God, because to disbelieve God is sin, because that's unbelief. And the root of most of all sins is unbelief. So if we start leading to our own understanding and walking by the flesh and not by the spirit, then we'll see our spirit man begin to depreciate. And little by little, those old things that we used to do, they start coming back to us, and we say, let's go back, just like the children of Israel. Let's go back to Egypt. I would rather be in slavery than have to face these people. Now, who wants to go back to being beaten? Who wants to go back to being tied up and can't have freedom and all the things that God had blessed them? They were willing to give up all those blessings because they didn't have the faith to trust God, to see them face a challenge or something that looked to them seemingly impossible. Who would want to go back? And let you know, your mind needs to be renewed on a constant basis, because if you're not careful, you'll fall back so quickly and want to go back to being in bondage. And the Bible said, who the Son of Man has set free, he's free indeed. Why would you want to go back when he's got you on a path to going forward? And you're right at the brink of being blessed and abundantly. You're just right at the edge of receiving all that God has promised, the manifestation of his promise, and you let the enemy trick you because you get distracted. And so with that said, the next one, we need to be focused. We need to set our affections on things above. Seek those things that are from God, that are godly. Seek those things, not on things on this earth. Because when we put our focus on God, he will lead and direct us into all truth. He will show us where to go. And as we're doing that, that means we're spending time with God. We're meditating. We're studying the word. We are surrounding ourselves with people that's also studying the word and got a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And they are minimizing their fear, because when fear comes their way, their mind has been renewed. They've been on a journey of communicating with God. And through that process, when fear comes their way, they can tell the devil to get out of my way. Fear, you don't belong here. You used to have a house here. You used to have residence here. But you have been evicted, because love and peace and power is right here, because the spirit of the living God resides. Rest, rule, and abide right here, and you can't stay here. There's no room for you. We don't want to give room to the enemy to bring us fear, to make us fearful, make us get off track. We want to keep our minds renewed so we can be in position for the next move of God, because we want to be in his will. That's the bottom line. We want to be in his will, and to be in his will takes self-discipline. We have to deny our flesh daily, so that we may allow him to have his way in our lives, that we will allow him to be Lord of our lives, not with just our lips, but with our heart. And from our heart, we show it with our actions, because he knows us anyway. So we might as well come clean and be real with God, because there are no secrets, because he knows us. He made us. He knows even the number of the hairs on our head. He knows our thoughts before we even say it. So, you know, we try to play games with others, and we do all this stuff and put on a face for other people to see when we are in public. But he knows us in our private moment. He knows us, and so we need to be real with him. So if we're real with God, he's definitely real with us. And when we need him, as Joshua and Caleb said, we're able. We're well able. Well able. You know you're well able when God is on your side. You're well able. I might be the grasshopper. I might be smaller. You might have more knowledge. You might be better qualified. But the Lord is on my side in favor. Rest, rule, and abide with me. He's true to his word. For he has made us a promise. Whatever he said, stick to it. Do not allow the enemy to play with our mind and bring thoughts of doubt, discontentment, complaining, confusion, and all these other negative things to our mind that we entertain. And then we wonder why God is not moving for us like he promised, because we allowed some noise to get in the way, to separate, and to cause a breach in the relationship. And we want our relationship to stay whole and whole with wholeness with the Father. Does anyone have something you would like to say at this point? Yeah, come
in. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to read something I found. I thought it was so profound in talking about commitment and our emotions and our mind and all this kind of things. It says, many people are seeking relief from emotions, relational, and spiritual insecurities. Their intense feelings of insecurity, along with the related thought pattern, is deliberating and painful. People who experience insecurity need to focus on the underlying reasons for the insecurity, not simply on finding ways to escape it. Feelings of insecurity reveal that something important is wrong with a person's foundational beliefs. As a fever indicates a physical illness, insecurity indicates a faith ailment that needs attention. We have to be real with ourselves, because remember, it is in our own mind that we make decisions. It is in our own mind that we are honest with ourselves, because we can play tricks and tell ourselves lies. And we can believe those lies, because it is in our own mind that we make those decisions and we choose to believe what we want. But if we earnestly have a heart to do what's right, And maybe we're struggling with it, God sees the sincerity of our hearts. And if we're putting forth the effort, God will help us, and he will strengthen us, and he will help us overcome any insecurity that we may have. And some of these insecurities, as I stated earlier, they come from our past. It could be some hard struggles that we went through before we came to know the Lord. or of what we went through or things that we saw as a kid. These things that have been impeded in our mind, and they have affected us in making decisions. That some of us are stubborn. Some of us are, you know, we are introverts, and we're afraid to get to know people. We don't want to relate. We have many insecurities, or we're afraid to let the Lord use us because we're afraid we're in flesh. We have many fears that the enemy would try to keep us in bondage and keep us locked down. But if we are willing and sincere and open and honest with God, he is there to help us. He will undergird us. He will strengthen us. And he will give us the power to overcome every insecurity that we may have or that we feel. Does anybody have something to say right now?
You're so right about those insecurities. To be insecure means that you're unsure. To be insecure, you don't have that confidence that you need to get things done. There's a lot of things that are our responsibility that God expects us to do and to come through. But if you don't have an assurity, or you're not sure about who you are, what he is to you, then you become insecure. And insecurity is something that we fight against because people can make you insecure. Feelings can make you insecure. Things can make you insecure. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that make it a point to keep you under them.
Yes.
That make it a point to keep you beneath them. But you must arise. And know that God is with you, like you were talking about before.
Right.
And I would like to say, you were talking about insecurities and all the, you know, the enemy, there was a scripture that says that we're going to narrowly look upon him. So, you know, someone or something that's trying to make you insecure or feel insecure about God is much smaller than what we actually see it, what it actually is. It's much smaller, but actually it's smaller than what we see.
Right.
The Bible says that we're going to look at the devil and say, is this who it was that troubled all the earth? And we're going to look at him and say, is this who this is? And that's the same way with our insecurities. We have to, Elder Timberlake, change our mind and realize that greater is he that's within us than he that is in the world, and that those insecurities, we can look narrowly upon them and, you know, and know that God is with us.
Amen. Amen. And we know, like the children of Israel, when they said those people like grasshoppers, they believe that. And what you believe in your heart, that's what it becomes. That's how you see it. We make giants out of things that are not giants. When one of our sisters or brothers in the church, if they say something to hurt our feelings, and maybe they didn't intend to, and we didn't go get it right, we didn't go try to figure it out, we just came up with our own interpretation of what it meant, and maybe they did mean it. But we harbored that in our hearts, and we let it get bigger and bigger. Well, but it's affecting you. Not only is it affecting your spirit man, it's affecting your natural man. And we're supposed, the Bible gives us guidance on what to do when we think somebody's offended us, how we're supposed to go and try to make it right or let them know. And if we know we've done it, we need to fix it. Or when it's brought to your attention, you need to fix it. If the Lord brings it to you, put you under conviction, whatever it is, you need to do the necessary steps it takes to resolve it. And once it has been resolved, you're supposed to let it go. But the enemy wants to play with our mind and deceives us. And he'll bring thoughts to us saying, Sister so-and-so don't like you. Brother so-and-so said this about you. All this little petty stuff. When people are dying, going to hell, and people really need Jesus, there's some more real critical things going on in the world. The enemy will get you so focused on this little small grasshopper that it'll look like a big giant or a big cluster and look like it's impossible. And you have to focus on that. But what he has done is distracted you and let your insecurities overwhelm you, And now you're out of focus and you're not in line with God's will for you, and your destiny is on hold for at this moment. And what we have to do is realize it. We've got to analyze ourselves, evaluate our lives on a daily basis. We need to analyze the thoughts that we have on a daily basis. We probably don't do it, but it is a good practice. Start looking at the kind of thoughts that we're having during the day. And if your mind, you know, like mine getting these days, you can't always remember, it is best sometimes you need to write those thoughts down, be it good or bad. Then you need to analyze those thoughts and see, Lord, where is this coming from? Because you line it up against the word. If it doesn't line up with the word, these are thoughts that should not be coming, being entertained in your mind. And you know what to rebuke, you know what to pray against, and you know what to pray for, so you can get in alignment. Because it's just like a car. When it's out of line, it don't run well. And it doesn't operate well. So we've got to be in line with the word, and that's what renewal of the mind is. It causes us to be in line with the will of God, and the only way we can do that is through the word of God. And we need to know that word, or study the word, spend time with the word, chew on the word, so we'll be well apt and well able and well equipped to handle whatever faces us.
Elder Timberlake.
Say something.
Elder Timberlake. This is Phyllis Dodson. I just want to say, my husband said you all know who I am. I'm sorry, but I wanted to give a testimony about the exact thing that you're saying. I was wounded at work by my boss, and I could not understand why that thing got to me. So at first it was okay, you know, I was mad and it would bother me, but then that thing got into my soulish man. And I remember laying in the bed one day saying, I don't even feel like getting up out of the bed. And I said, wait a minute, Lord, what is this depression? I said, Lord, I don't get depressed. I've been through a lot of things. I mean, you know, people get depression does come on you, but not like that, where I didn't want to get up out of the bed. And I had told someone else before, the death of my daughter was strong, but I can't remember even going through that, not just wanting to get out of bed, because, you know, at that time my faith in the Lord was really, that's all I had, so I would keep moving. But this thing, I was wounded deep in my spirit, and so I was running my mouth, talking to a couple of people at work, and you know, I have to be careful what I say. I can't go too far because, you know, I'm a supervisor, and it's not good for us to, you know, just say everything. But I said this one thing. I said, well, yeah, he said this to me, and it hurt my feelings, and I shared that. And they were saying, uh-huh, see? But then when I got home, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, but he apologized to you. And I said, yes, Lord, he did. And the man did. He apologized to me, I remember. And he hugged me. And I hugged him back. And the thing about it was, he was still who he was and still getting on my nerve and everybody else's nerve. But because he apologized to me, I went back and took what he had done before he apologized and added that to everything else. So every day, like you said, Elder Timberlake, that thing will defile, it will trouble me and defile others around me.
Right.
And I was not walking in forgiveness. And that is one of the things that, you know, we as saints, we have to be careful about. I didn't even realize that I was walking in unforgiveness. And I had to have a mind change. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me and to help me to get through this. Now, when I repented, and I even went back to the two people, and I said, you know what, but he apologized to me. And one said, uh-huh, see. But the other one said, girl, that's all right. You were still right. And I said, no, I was wrong. You know, some people think that was cool, but I was wrong. And the Lord had to show me that you were talking about a mindset. We got to make sure we're not walking in unforgiveness, because that was serious. Every day I was digging down deeper, and it brought depression, and I didn't want to move. And when I would call anxiety, my husband said I had anxiety, I would come home and I would just feel like I had a load on me, and I wouldn't even really talk to him because I said, you know, all this stuff that went on at work, it's not his fault, and I don't want to say anything that will hurt his feelings or anything. And I didn't. But he saw my solemnness, you know, how solemn and how introverted I was. That was a word that you used. I had become introverted. And that was because I was walking in unforgiveness. So that is something that we all have to be careful of. We got to make sure that we're doing what's right in the sight of God, and get to repentance, and so and walk in right, be in right standing with him, so our minds then, and then Elder Timberlake, when I when I repented and I felt that thing lift off me, I was able, that man did not change, but God changed me. My heart had changed, and my mind had changed. And so that's what's important. We're not weak. We're not here. We're not God. We don't necessarily change. We are here to change the world. We are here to be a light. But we can't change people, but God can. But the main thing is he wants us to be changed. Amen. He wants us to have the right attitude.
Amen. How apropos of a testimony goes with that subject, because with those 10 people, with the children of Israel, they caused more racket and more confusion. They got everybody on their side. They caused so much confusion because negativity seems to go further and faster than the truth, than faith. And that's what happened. They just spread it, and then it got everybody. I mean, they got God so upset, he was about to get rid of all of them.
That's right. It just spread it. It spread it because of their, you're right, their negativity and that thing down inside of them, not trusting God, not seeing where they were wrong at, and that messed up the whole thing.
Yes. Yes.
I wanted to say something about
They should have been at the promised land in about 11 days, but God punished them and gave them for every day they was over there spying a year. So they gave them 40 years. Something they could have had in about 11 days that they had to wait 40 years for. So some of us, you know, God been promised us something, and every time we get close, we allow the enemy. He deceitfully brings something in to distract us, and we get out of focus and look like we just get close. He already knows. The enemy he knows when that breakthrough's about to hit, and he just comes in. If we're caught off guard and our minds are not being renewed on a daily basis, hourly, second basis, every minute, all he need is a crack. That's what all he need is one crack. And while your mind is having these thoughts coming and going, you've got to capture them. Put them under captivity. If they don't line up with the word, we got to capture them then. Don't let them linger. Don't let them stay. Don't let it say it's going to be all right. No, you need to put them in order. We got to line it up at that time, because if you're not careful, that little fox is going to do a whole lot of stuff.
Yes. Well, I was just going to say, I was thinking about that depression thing and that kind of thing, and how the enemy tries to render our minds brain dead is what he's trying to do. So he's trying to distract us. He's trying to keep us, because if he can get us to that state, because if you think about depression, I can talk about from my own perspective. For a while, I was just coming home, going to sleep. I had plenty to do, but I couldn't get nothing done. And I think about how he keeps coming at you until you just, if you don't watch it, like you said, if you don't really attack it and get back with it, and turn that around, then next thing you know, you done lost time. You done lost days, sometimes months. And because what he's trying to do is just like the other week when Bishop preached about that mind is your power. The mind is our power. That's the one thing God gave us that he didn't give none of the other creation. That so that we can use the mind to be able to, that is where our power lies. And so that's why he says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because that faith that is being preached enters into our mind, which gives us the strength to have the faith and for our faith increase. But if we allow those bad negative things to stay, folks, stay in our mind and focus on them, then we really become almost at a place of brain, like a brain dead. And you know, when people are brain dead, they've lost the activity of their mind. And so that's what we have to be careful for. That's why we have to continue to renew our mind
day by day, and day by day, we have to do that. It's not nothing we can just be lax about. If we really think about the times that we are in now, we don't have time for no lax situation. We got to keep ourselves abreast in the Word of God and keep ourselves going in the Word of God, encourage one another in the Word of God. We don't have time to try to pull nobody down. We don't have time for that foolishness. That's foolishness. And anybody operating in that, it's foolishness. And you got to begin to know that that is not God's will. That is not God's plan for nobody's life. And so, therefore, we have to begin to turn these things around if we're going to operate in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And even when we have brothers or sisters in the faith, should they fall, whether they be well-known or somebody we know, instead of us spreading gossip and trying to destroy them or being happy, you know, we should pray for them. We should intercede for them because we're helpers one to another. And you know you're growing, and you know that your mind is renewing when you're not doing the same thing that you used to. When you used to fit in with the group that wanted to talk about Sister So-and-so, Brother So-and-so because they had fallen. But when they started talking about it, you want to bring up something different because you want to take it to the higher road because you don't want anybody to be lost. Because except for the grace of God, all of us, at one time or another in our lives, we might fall or have fallen. But God was gracious and he was faithful and he forgave us. We have to forgive each other. So we have to be careful in every area of our lives. So we think because it wasn't me, it didn't happen to me and mine, it's okay. But if it happened to my brother or my sister in the gospel, it affects me because we're all one. And we've got to get to that mindset. You've got to get to that mindset that we've got to hold each other up, not condoning and not condemning, but loving through whatever issues, whatever it is. We have to love one another because God has loved us, and God knows if we examine our lives, we don't deserve his mercy, and we don't, at least I can testify for me, and his grace. I don't deserve it. So if Elder Bryson should mess up, I can't judge her for that. I need to pray for her. I won't. If she does wrong, I ain't going to agree with it, but I'm going to love in spite of it and through it and help. Hopefully I can be an encouragement to get someone back on track versus this devil to keep us divided because we've got to grow. We got to grow. The harvest is so plenteous. And the enemy, even in the church world, he's keeping us stagnant over things that we suppose have already overcome. We're still at the edge of the promise, and God is trying to move us in position because he got great need of us because we got a lot of work to do. So we need our minds renewed so we can be in position to go forth to do his will.
Yeah. That's why the Bible tells us, what it says in Galatians, where it says, if your brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual are to restore and such. We can't, stuff happens to everybody. I tell them that when I go over to their house all the time, I said, life happens to everybody. So don't think because I'm standing up here ministering to you that stuff ain't happening to me and that I don't have stuff to overcome. That's not what that means. What that means is that, first of all, we need to be able to extend mercy to everybody because we're going to need some mercy. And that's what that means. Tell people just because somebody got overtaken in a fault, that does not mean they still ain't called. They still got to do what the Lord told them to do, and there ain't no need in us having nothing to say about it. Just like you said, pray and help to restore our brother and our sister when things happen to them and stop having an opinion about it. Just pray. You don't like you said, you don't have to condone it. You don't have to agree with it, but we got to pray for them because that is our assignment.
Amen. 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 I want to give Creek before I turn it back over to you, Dale Bryson. Did anybody else have something to say on that before? Because I get cut away sometimes, so I have to call myself in, so y'all have to help me. I want to just give you the three little pointers, three key steps that I found in studying that helps us to keep our minds renewed and have an experience towards that transformation power of a relationship with God. That's the bottom line. That's what we're talking about. We want to keep our minds renewed so we can have that transformation power, that transforming power of God working effectively, consistently, abundantly in our lives. The three steps that we need to do as Christians, as people, as humans, because our mind, we soulless nature, we you know, God gave us will, and the enemy is always coming. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is always present. So in order to keep our minds together, the first thing we need to do, because we've been saying it for a few weeks, we need to study the word. We need to study the word, as it tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, to show ourselves approved for a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The first thing we need to do is study the word, and as you study the word, seek for word, the word that ministers to you, to your mind, to your will, to your situation. Then find a scripture and begin to meditate on that. Begin to memorize scriptures that keeps you encouraged, that keeps you uplifted. So when the enemy come in with things that maybe you struggle with, then you have that scripture that you keep saying to yourself, because when you keep saying things over and over again to yourself, self begins to receive it and believe it. Just like when people hear negative stuff over and over and over, whether it's true or not, they begin to believe it. The same way it is with the word of God. When you begin to say it over and over and begin to memorize it so you can use it for the word to tell him it is written, just like Jesus had to tell Satan in the wilderness, you can do the same. So memorization is one key point we need to do. The next one we need to do, Joshua 1:8. The next one would be meditation. We need to meditate on that word. Whatever scriptures you are reading and you begin to memorize, meditate on it day and night, day and night. Sometimes, even while you're working at the computer, you know, you hear scriptures and words to be humming going on. Keep it in your heart, in your spirit, man. So you keep in your heart, man, your spirit, man, conditioned for your spirit, man, to be growing. You're keeping it conditioned, just like we have to put on our hair to keep it conditioned, otherwise it gets brittle. We need to stay conditioned in the spirit, and we get that by meditation. And once we have memorized, and once we're still meditating, then the word by itself, if you don't apply it, it means little. So we need to have application. We need to apply the word. We need to put it in practice. We need to exemplify it so those around us can see. We're supposed to be the light that Sister Dobson talked about. We are light when we show difference. We're not to be different or to be indifferent, but to show that we respond differently than normal people for various situations. That things that would normally keep everybody upset, that we're not a part of the gossip column at work. We don't get in those groups, and if we do, we need to strive to work on pulling away from them. We don't always put people down, even though we might agree with what some people are saying. We hold our peace. We say nothing. We can whisper a secret part to the Lord to work things out, even if the boss is doing us wrong, even if we're being overlooked for promotions, even if we've been mistreated. We ask for wisdom from God. When to go and speak up, and when to be quiet, and when to be silent, because he's able to work through the situation as long as we don't get in the way. Many times we get in the way, so we need to get out of the way by memorizing scriptures, studying them, meditating on them, and applying them, making them practice, making it our conversation, a part of our daily lives on practicing the word of God. Elder Dotson, does anybody have something else to say? If not, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Praise the Lord. Didn't our hearts burn within? That's what I have to say. Oh, my God, such an awesome lesson today. And we thank God.
Amen.
For it. Yes,
amen.
Sir. We're going to continue right with it on next week, because when I started digging into the next topic, I thought, well, it came to my spirit, and I was so thankful, because then Elder Timberlake called me. And so she said, I don't think I'm through with that. And I said, I don't think we're through either. So anyway, thank God for that. We're going to keep going until the Lord say something. And so, but I'm so thankful for the word today, because I'm just inspired by it and just blessed by it. And I'm telling you, if you all have not heard the prior lessons, I will admonish you, and I'm going to put them out there on Facebook and tweet them again on Twitter and things like that, so that people can get a hold of them and be able to listen to them and kind of catch yourself up if you're just joining us today. We thank God for each and every one that was on the line today that had not been on the line before. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And so at this time, I'm going to ask if Elder Dotson would do our invitation to Christ, and then I'm going to ask if Sister Phyllis Dotson would do our closing prayer, and we will be back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. We thank Elder Timberlake for just following God's lead and
Even though she had one thing prepared, God changed it, and for her being obedient, because it was a blessing to each and every one of us that heard it. Elder Dotson.
Lord, for those that are listening that are not in fellowship with you, we pray that the spirit of salvation attaches to them right now and that they have a change of heart. Those that are listening, please change your heart and become a child of God. He will bring things clear to your minds. You must say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I want to be a part of you. I want to love you. I believe that you have come, you have died for my sins, and you rose from the grave to give me victory. And I receive you in my heart right now. If you prayed that prayer with me, then you are saved. Please go to a Bible-believing church and a Bible-teaching church. Learn more so you can have that mind-changing happening to you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the word that we heard on today. Dear God, help us to apply it to our hearts. Lord, let us not be hearers of the word only, but doers. Dear God, I pray that you help us to change and to walk upright before you. Oh, God, I pray that you bless Elder Timberlake, and I pray you continue to give her wisdom from on high so as she may be a blessing to your people.
Yes, Lord.
Every speaker that comes on the Prospering Souls broadcast, I pray that you touch them in Jesus' name. Everyone that has listened here tonight, I pray that you touch them in Jesus' name and help them to go throughout the week rejoicing in the word that they heard on tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask for your protection and your love and your guidance throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray, and I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for joining us this week, and we will look forward to you being on the broadcast next week. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we will see you here back on next week, and we will
be
continue
blessed.
To talk about a renewed mind. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. God bless.